the clear takeaway message I got from God was, if you're going to be useful, you're going to have to slow down and love the person right in front of you.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this awesome country. Formerly reluctant to do cross-cultural work, now a lot less reluctant, and I got my good friend Randall here.
You can call me Randy, or you can call me Randall, depending on where you live in this fine world. I used to be an atheist, and now I'm the leader for this little band of cross-cultural workers we call SIM USA. So as I've been reflecting on some of the stuff that Andres shared with us, I think that the thing that keeps coming back to me is the appreciation that he had for the Uruguayan culture's value for family.
Yeah.
And the way that they're, every Sunday, he said, I don't know if you noticed, he said, almost religiously.
Yeah, he did say that.
this atheistic country, almost religiously, every Sunday, makes time to have a barbecue as a family, no matter how far they have to drive.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. That I guess it's a strong familial pull, and also probably a desire to rest, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it's part of the common grace of God that we all actually need to slow down and experience others. But it's interesting that their European culture down there has become both atheistic and valuing the slowdown and be together truly. I remember amongst the Muslim people where we used to serve, I remember that there was certain aspects of their culture that were more biblical than my church culture here in America.
Like what?
Oh, care for their elderly.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when I think of Andres's comment about Uruguayans, I thought, man, if I was going to say to prioritize slowing down and listening to one another and getting together for a barbecue as a family, because we value our family and our relationships more than our busyness.
Yeah.
It kind of feels more biblical than my home church culture here in America. I don't know. It's just interesting that God's common grace has blessed cultures around the world with strengths
and
beautiful things we need to learn from.
Yeah, we absolutely need to learn from that. I mean, it's hard for me. The other day, my wife was asking if I could teach Jack how to ride a bike without training wheels. And this is something I've been putting off. and I don't know why I've been putting it off, outside of the fact that I thought this is going to take a long time. It actually ended up taking about 1.5 minutes, but when she asked me, I felt something in my heart like tense up, because I've realized, oh man, I still haven't done this. And we decided to go for a walk. And so I just cut out everything, closed the computer, left everything. And we went for a walk, and he started riding his bike instantly. And at the end of the evening, it was probably 3 or 4 hours later, he hadn't stopped riding. And Ashley and I, we looked over each other and we're like, wow, why are we not doing this every week? And I was like, that's a great question. Why am I not doing this every week? And there's something about the, there's a fear I have. I don't know why I have this fear, but there's a fear I have if I if I clear everything off and I do absolutely nothing with people, if I'm with people, but I do nothing, like I don't have anything on the schedule, there's a fear that I have that it would be worthless because I didn't somehow write down the things that would make it important. Like I didn't say, unless I do this, you know, this accomplishment and here's the result, that it's, you know, valued or important. It's hard for me to see that just being time being spent with people, enjoying them, being in their presence is actually fruitful.
Huh. So in the case of the time with Ashley and Jack,
mm-hmm.
Sort of going for a walk and learning to ride the bike, what value caused you to make that time?
What value?
Yeah, what is it that you were valuing that caused you to set aside that time?
There's a sense of joy that I know that I could have if I just, if I kind of act like a kid and be a kid again. Like, I sense it in pieces. Like, I taste it at times with my kids if I'm just enjoying play and stuff. And then I always resort back to the fear of not having something finished or done, or that I need to get back to something else. And so in this instance, it was just a longer block where I kind of forced myself to do it as far as like brain wise, forced myself to play and to enjoy. And I think the value was just, to me, having some joy. And so it's not that I'm not a happy person. It's just, there's a difference between doing life and being relatively happy and not down. And then there's between that and then having, wow, joy. This is, I could live in this moment and time is irrelevant.
So the decision to slow down and be with mm-hmm. Jack and your family
mm-hmm.
For this experience would have been one of discipline, a discipline decision to slow down and not think about 20 other things, but to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the mm-hmm. value for your family, the value for God, the value of what you know is right, that's sort of some combination of that caused you to put the discipline in practice.
Yeah.
I remember when I tend to be a busy, perhaps excessively busy person. And I remember I first got to Central Asia when we were serving there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning a language and trying to do a lot of things all at the same time, and tended to be really, really busy with all of these things. And then I remember one morning, early in the morning, I had a dream. And then at the time I thought it was an angel. Mm-hmm. It could have been the Holy Spirit. It could have been me. I don't know. But I had this dream, and it was like the clear takeaway message I got from God was, if you're going to be useful,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to slow down and love the person right in front of you.
Yeah. Hmm. How did that end up playing out for you?
I think for me, the key thing that happened was that from there until this day, sometimes the Holy Spirit would say, stop thinking about 10 things at once. That there's there'll be somebody in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a meeting coming up, and then there's a project that I'm working on, and there's all these things that are partially consuming my mind because I think the person in front of me or somehow other things are more important than the first person in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the Holy Spirit will say, really, Randy?
Hmm.
Then I have to slow down and love the person right in front of me.
Yeah. Hmm. I like the Holy Spirit that says, really, really, really?
So when you look at the life of Jesus, can you think of any times when Jesus showed that it was valuable to slow down and love the people right in front of him?
Yeah. For some reason, anytime I feel like he's dealing with food, specifically the beach scene, That was a that's an interesting one, and I guess it's somewhat relevant because of the coast situation in Andres' talk. But
is Andres. He says, Andres said something like, "We need the kind of people that are going to come here, and not picture themselves going 1,000 miles an hour, but instead on a walk on the coast with somebody." And no other agenda.
Yeah. So Jesus making breakfast to me on the coast, waiting on his friends to get out of the boat with all their fish.
All right. So
cool scene.
In John 21, that's where you're pointing us to. Verse 4 says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And then there's a fine little story of catching some fish and him talking to him and stuff.
Just another miracle. No big deal.
And then you come to verse 9 and it says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread.
Yeah.
Imagine how much more efficiently Jesus could have handled this situation. I mean, did he really have to just stand out there and wait for them to notice him on the shore? And
yeah, he had so many alternative things that seemed a bit faster.
I mean, the dude was responsible for saving the world.
I don't know what his plans were for time at this point, to be honest. Like, my guess is that he's spending a little bit of time with some people, you know, at this point in history. I have the image that, like, he's choosing to be present with them. For sure, but that he could have been more efficient with the time.
I mean, it doesn't say it here, so we don't really know, but I kind of get the impression that Jesus is the kind of guy that is not there on the shore with his mind racing 1,000 miles an hour, thinking about all the more important things he could be doing than standing on the shore and preparing breakfast for these guys.
Yeah. Lighting the coals, getting it hot.
Yeah. I want to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
I guess this doesn't tell us what he was thinking about, so I want to be more like I assume Jesus is based on the story. Yeah, it does seem like he would be the kind that would slow down and love the person right in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's hospitable. I mean, it's a... obviously, I don't know, he didn't have a house there. So but in some ways the preparing of food and breakfast and it's really hospitable.
When you think back to your experience of going to learn a language and be with people, the suggestion that Andres made that the most important thing for the people that would go to Uruguay was those people who were ready to slow down and not have a strong agenda and listen.
Yeah.
When you think about that, the listening and truly being present to listen, can you think of places in your experience that showed that that's important?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so like, My wife and I, being from, you know, this Arkansas land, our culture had a certain time discipline. You know, kids go down at a certain time, you know, food's at a certain time. And so entering into a new culture, it seemed like at every point people ate at a little different, just slightly different time. People went to bed at a little bit different time. They maybe played with their kids longer in the evening. And so there were a lot of differences where it actually didn't just naturally line up to where, you know, oh, we're just doing this at the same time. This is easy. And so it did feel like something that was a discipline when people would ask or request us to be present with them. I definitely remember most times thinking, okay, are we going to give up, you know, our evening time together? Is this something, you know, we're going to do now? Are we choosing to do this? And it was always rewarding. So it wasn't like a thing that was difficult or that it was, you know, controversial in our family, but it was a sacrifice. But yeah, we would often get, you know, a text message or something, or I would get a text from a friend, you know, late at night because they're off work. I would wait for my kids to go down and we would just spend hours together, you know, drinking tea and stuff. And it was a huge impact in their life to see that, A, I was interruptible, and B, that I would give up, you know, some quality time with my own family. I could be doing other things and I wanted to be with them. I didn't sit down and say, you wouldn't believe what I'm giving up to spend time with you. But I think they felt valued enough, that during difficult times in their life, they knew that, there was a place, a safe place they could come to, and just feel like they were kind of going home, even though it wasn't their home. They knew they had a very safe place with me, because we had built that kind of trust over time.
So with your friends, it was over time that they sort of learned that you were there and available, waiting mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a unique thing. They didn't have other people that were there, that cared, that were willing mm-hmm. to, I guess you could say, walk down the beach with them.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's somehow in that being available to them, whether it was a hard time or a good time, mm-hmm. The availability to just really engage with them mm-hmm. somehow gave you an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that's in you.
Yeah.
Did you have that kind of character and experience before you left America, or did you develop it once you got there?
As long as someone asked me at the right time, that was convenient, that I would do it. That was before. And then after I realized there's actually kind of a thing that was happening. It was like, it's actually kind of lonely to live in another culture. Like as time progresses, it kind of gets, you start to feel a little bit lonely. And so there was, in some ways, if I would have waited for it to be convenient, I would have probably just died a slow death and not had any friends. And so there was a realization that I need to be with someone as well. And I needed to spend time with people. And because I needed a friend, and it didn't matter if it was convenient. So that's probably where the switch happened, you know, into some sort of, I'm going to make this a discipline. This is a priority in my life.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, the American version of Ben was probably based off convenience, and then the Central Asian Ben was, I need friends. I need people in my life.
That's interesting that there was an illusion that you didn't need this when mm-hmm. you were in your home culture because mm-hmm. you knew how to cope.
That's right. That's a good point.
And then you went to another culture where you didn't know how to cope, and that illusion was stripped away.
Yeah.
And then you realize, I need to be more available for my own sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then God used your awareness of your need for being more available to draw other people to himself.
Yeah.
So you grew and they were blessed and God was glorified.
Yep. Amazing.
God, we thank you that this way it always seems to play out. That somehow you're using our growth as part of the fruit that you bear in our lives, as part of the way that you're using our lives for your glory and to draw other people to yourself. Yeah, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.